I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Sunday edition of Cincinnati Edition. Alexander Horowitz has recently published On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes, and she's on the phone with Thane Maynard to talk about the experiment.
Alexander Horowitz, thanks for taking a few minutes, because I'll tell you what, I think your book is terrific. On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes. And tell us a bit about the book, because its name alone doesn't really tell about the depth of it.
Isn't that always the way, I think? But if you pick it up, yeah, there are a lot of walks which led me on a lot of different directions. I got interested in how I could reconceive, you know, an ordinary walk in the city where I live, the way I had reconceived it by looking at a walk from a dog's point of view and realizing how much, you know, my dogs were smelling and seeing an entirely different block than I was. And so I took this walk. I took walks, ordinary walks, with lots of different people who had expertise or some kind of story in their life which would let them see things that I don't notice.
Well, the great thing about it, and the part I actually enjoyed the most, is, of course, we live in a busy world. Folks are busy with work, they're busy with their life, they're busy with all baloney social media. So the concept of just taking a walk and really looking, and then for your case, asking other people with other perspectives to look at it, is such a great idea because it's filled with wonder.
Exactly. Really, I have a very small child, and there's a lot about living with a child which reminds you that, oh, we've really constrained the reality we let ourselves see. Right? The child is not constrained like that yet. We're dragging them into that constraint, into being adults. But they still are kind of mesmerized at just natural phenomena. And I wanted to do that again, and it was easy to do it when you see how many other layers of an ordinary scene there are. And that's what these people helped me see.
And it's fun to see it also happening and unfolding in New York City, where many of us, though we may not live there as you do, have some familiarity with some of the areas you were in. And so that brings a common sort of shared experience, too.
I have the feeling that this kind of walk project is transportable anywhere, really. And in some ways, I didn't choose particularly recognizable blocks. You know, these were not ones that would be on tour guide listings. Instead, they were ones where we were just looking around at a really ordinary situation and seeing, nonetheless, what was there to be moved by.
Now, of course, one of your 11 experts was a dog, and you are famous for the book that you did called Inside of a Dog, which also was very revealing because everybody, not everybody, almost everybody loves dogs, and most people know that dogs have a great sense of smell, and other than that, that's about as far as it goes, but certainly in that first book, you got into it, and through that, I realized you studied dog cognition, which is a fascinating field in itself, but I think your dog-led walk in your book was as fascinating as any of them.
Oh, thank you. Well, I continue to learn more things about the dog perspective. You know, I didn't feel like I completed the story in Inside of a Dog. And every time I go out with my dogs, if I bother to look, they're showing me something. On this walk I took with one of my dogs, Finnegan, you know, the very first thing I realized when, you know, you let a dog lead a walk is, you know, they're not going to go always the pace you are. And we stopped on the front stoop, and he just stood there, you know, smelling the block, and I realized, you know, the street, which I have walked up and down so many times, is actually new to him every time we go out because it's entirely full of different smells. And that's an interesting concept to imagine that something which I don't even look at, right, unless there was a big, you know, like a trash fire on the street. I'm not even looking at the street. My dog is just spending the time looking at this entirely new vista. So that's kind of wonderful. I get kind of infected by that interest that they show.
And, of course, the other thing that's neat is just, frankly, the concept of going on a regular walk. People, almost everybody listening, I'm sure, is busier than they used to be. All of us say that. I have no idea. How could I be busier than I was last year? We all seem to be that way. So the concept of just taking a walk, whatever distance or period of time that is just great, you know, versus being plugged into the computer, all the various things that we end up doing during the day, or being stuck at a desk.
It's no surprise that, you know, the peripatetic philosophers of ancient Greece talked about going for a walk to be inspired. they might be talking, they might be thinking something over, but also they're just looking, they're letting the world happen to them. And it's really nice to have the space to do that. You know, and every one of us is commuting, or most of us are commuting, and that's a time when we can, you know, make a lot of choices about how we're going to do it. Are we going to plug in? Are we just going to read a book? Those are great things. Also, a great thing is just looking at the environment around us. Looking up, for instance, is something kind of transformative that we almost never do.
Having visited New York quite a bit, my daughter lives in Brooklyn, I've noticed more than in most towns, hardly anyone looks at anyone else.
That's right. That's true. There is this interest in avoiding eye contact. And yet we're making all sorts of little adjustments to not bump into each other. And how that works in a city is something that I explored with one of the walkers, the urban sociologist, Fred Kent. And I really enjoy continuing to look at that every time I'm walking in my city.
Now, one of the stories that I enjoyed a lot is that you had a blind woman lead you on your walk.
I mean, I had an idea of what she might experience. Happily, you know, my imagination was not sufficient. She showed me something new, and especially she showed me that she was using sound in a way I hadn't conceived. You know, she didn't think she had supersensory listening ability, but she would use the tap of her cane. Hmm. She walked with a long cane to kind of bounce a sound around the environment. And the way that sound bounced back at her drew a picture of the space for her. Was it a really open space? Were we going under an awning? Was there an alleyway? Were we at the end of the block? And that's a type of sound that actually I could hear as well, but it's not something I was paying attention to. And so it was really wonderful to have her point it out to me.
Often I've had colleagues who work in museums describe what museums are trying to do, particularly, say, with school programs for young kids, is teaching them how to look. And not just hurry through the museum and go to their favorite thing or run to this area or just get through the whole darn museum in a half an hour, but
right.
But to learn to slow down and look at things. And I've always thought that's such a nice image. But yours, of course, took it much farther, which is not in a museum or a building or a finite little space, but as you're walking through your town to take the time to look in different ways.
Yeah, and I think the challenging part for people is that being asked to pay attention is something we've been asked to do all our lives, and we somehow view it as a hard activity. Nobody really tells us how to do that. And one of the easy ways to pay new attention, to bring new attention to a scene, is just by finding one thing to look at or a new thing to look at. And I used this conceit of having people who had some expertise, the geologist or the insect tracker, show me what they saw. That made it easier. But then I could do it on my own, even without that expertise. So I love having that kind of tool in my toolbox now, so that anytime I walk, I can bring out attention to the surface or the light and shadows or, you know, who's living in the trees.
Now, of course, you're a psychologist in addition to being a writer, and you're at Barnard College. But also you're an expert on dog cognition, as we discussed. And again, a lot of people might love dogs, but most of them don't think dogs are very bright. But if they read your books, and particularly your first book on being a dog, inside of a dog, clearly you learn there's a lot more going on than you might think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we really underestimate dogs, especially as regards their attention to us, you know, the way that they not necessarily what we think we're telling them, but what we are inadvertently telling them. They're great readers of our behavior. And then their own world, their own experiential world, to me is so fascinating, just imagining the olfactory perspective on the scene and realizing that nonetheless, despite the fact that they're creatures of the nose and we're creatures of the eyes, they kind of get what we're talking about and go along with us. I'm continually impressed by dogs. You know, I can't imagine living without them.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, one of the most amazing things to me is how much people love their dog. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
Maybe
it
not as
crazy.
Much as their kids, but probably more than their spouse.
In some ways, you can have kind of more pure feelings about your dog because the dog really only gives you what feel like pure, affective emotions back, right? You know, they're never angry when you've left them a long time, and they're always pleased to see you. They don't have the same types of issues that people do, right? And we have to explain away. So, yeah, the bond between humans and animals. In fact, we're trying to explore it now. We're doing a study on dog-human play behavior and asking people to send in videos of themselves playing with their dog, and we're coding what's happening inside. And that's our way of trying to figure out what's happening between in that interaction that makes it so powerful.
That is great. Well, thanks very much for spending some time with us. I've enjoyed your book, and I enjoyed this visit.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Alexandra Horowitz, author of the book On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.